Frances was a child of 5 or 6 when her father first got to know Burne Jones. Frances was the 5th of his 8 children, 5 of whom were girls. She was sometimes taken by her father to visit artist studios, which were often opened at weekends to favoured visitors. Rossetti's house in Cheyne Walk especially thrilled her, with its dark oak dining room, convex mirrors, unusual collection of blue and white china, and the sight of Rossetti himself coming out to them in slippers and a sort of dressing gown to show them to his studio. Rossetti would talk to them and sometimes read his poetry with a deep, booming voice that seemed to come out from his boots. Frances Graham was part of the long line of devotion that begins with the McLaren's Mabel and the more forthcoming of the Winnington Hall schoolgirls, and progresses to the Dollies and the Dossies, the Daphnes, Katies, and sweet, darling, bright little Elsies, whom Burne Jones spoiled and petted. What are we to make of Burne Jones's adoration of little girls? The first thing to be said is that conventions in adult behaviour towards children were very different in the middle 19th century from the wariness to which we have become accustomed today. The worship of the young girl, the innocent, had become almost a given in pre-Raphaelite circles. The depiction of prepubescent beauty made more poignant by the sense that this was by its nature a temporary stage. Julia Margaret Cameron took this to extremes in her photographs of Belles Sauvages children, often semi-naked, posed in pairs or grouped together. Her portraits of wistful and scarcely nubile teenagers bear such bittersweet titles as Rosebud Garden of Girls. One of the girls in the garden with her sisters is Ellen Terry, teenage actress bride of G.F. Watts. What now seems a rather startling freedom was allowed between the middle-aged men and small to teenage girls within the clique. With the connivance of their mothers, Burne Jones could write to his young friends directly, sending tenderly affectionate and funny little missives illustrated with his drawings, flights of fancy intended to make the recipient collapse in fits of giggles. It was an intimate form of correspondence. One-to-one meetings were permitted. Burne Jones and indeed Ruskin evidently had access to the children of their friends without a chaperone. For instance, Constance Hilliard writes in her diary for 12th of July, 1865, "Drive into London to see Mr. Jones the artist, who is one of Cussie's dearest friends. A nice petting and grave talks, sweet run in the garden, tea and talks, and another nice petting before I went to bed." Cussie was John Ruskin. Constance, who had recently lost her mother, Pauline Trevelyan, who died when the family was travelling in Switzerland, was then 14. What did she mean by petting? Caresses? Sweet talking? A degree of innuendo? As I understand it, Burne Jones's devotion to small girls and young teenagers was different in kind from Ruskin's passion for Rose Latouche, less overtly sexual. But these things are mysterious to later generations. All one can say with certainty is that he depended deeply on his friendships with the pets.